here for our trails discussion. You're in the right place. You're here to run the fire alarm. That sounds terrible. If we could, we'll call these meetings to order. If we could please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have three boards that we need to take the roll call for. And Mark, if we could start with the City Commission, please.
Conklin.
Here.
Brunch.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Page. Solomon.
Here.
Planning Commission?
That sounds good to me.
Shoot.
Here.
Prundike.
Here.
McNaughton.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Newton.
Here.
Place.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
And Parks, Alexander.
Here.
Conklin.
Here.
Litzenberger.
Here.
Sheehan.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Sterling.
Here.
Vadney. Wyke.
Here.
Quorum present for all three boards.
What an announcement. Congratulations. Thank you all for coming tonight. As many of you are aware and have worked on personally, Boyne City has really become a hub for trails and trail town activities over the last few years. We were actually designated a trail town through a process on that a few years ago, set up Old City Park kind of as our trailhead location. We worked real closely with some of our neighboring townships in Charlevoix County to get work moving forward, even though at a much slower pace than some of us would like to see the trail connected between Boyne City and Charlevoix and then the Wheelway on that end. And we've also worked very closely with Boyne Valley Township and a lot of partners to get the ongoing trail in Boyne Valley Township that is currently under construction right now and will be ready to open fully next June. One of the things that's been talked about significantly since the first phase of the trail between Boyne City and Charlevoix took place was how to more safely get people from the end of the trail at West Michigan Avenue to the downtown. A few years ago, we had an effort, it was kind of a rushed effort, where we, at kind of a last minute scenario, took a number of options to the City Commission, and we had some discussions on it. I don't remember exactly how involved the Park Board was or the Planning Commission was at that time. But you may recall that we went through a whole bunch of scenarios, and I'll bring them up here and just kind of flash them on the screen real quick. We're not going to spend a whole bunch of time on it right now. But we looked at these various scenarios to get people from West Michigan here, where the trail ends, to Old City Park here, and the trailhead, which is kind of in that corner there down by the kayak. This was one of the trails, one of the routes that we looked at. And as we go through these various scenarios, and you'll see that a lot of them are very similar in scope, we had some concerns. There were a lot of concerns raised with regards to crossing points along over West Michigan, how you got people down here through kind of by the manufactured housing community as well, too. And you'll see some of the different routes, and then also just how we got people past the Honeywell site. So we came up with about five or six different routes. Again, this was one of them that kind of hugged the shoreline. Get the next one up here. And let me just go back and forth so we can see the difference again. Go to that. This one used Lower Lake Street and pretty much stayed along all of Lake Street until you got down to the park. This one took a little bit of back road down Lime Street to try and not cross at the flasher there at West Michigan and North Lake Street. Okay. This route took people even further west, further east to Park Street, and then brought them down Park Street. There was a lot of discussion that this might be a safer route, but there was also a lot of discussion that, okay, that's not the way most people want to traverse through Boyne City. They would like to have the views of the lake as well, too. Then we also had scenarios where we looked at just the road right-of-ways that we had, and we kind of identified some of those with some other projects that we had going on as well, too, in some of those main corridors. So we looked at a lot of those areas. We discussed whether we could go for a Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund, some grant funding to actually implement that. The decision was at that time that it was just too rushed of a process. We hadn't thought it through. We really hadn't resolved some of the major conflict points along West Michigan and North Lake Street, and we really had to step back and think about it a lot further. That's where, basically, within the last year, the City Commission hired C2AE, our consulting engineers, and we have Larry Fox from their firm here, as well to study with staff and input from our various boards and commissions, routes to get people from West Michigan to Old City Park and come up with a recommendation for us. And we're here to talk about that recommendation tonight, why it came up, whether we like it, don't like it, if there's other things that we should still be looking at as well too. So there's a whole wealth of information with regards to this route that we'll be talking about today. Cost estimates, it may be a bit overwhelming at times. We're not looking to make any firm decisions here tonight, but we want to help get everybody up to speed, have conversations between the commission, city commission, planning commission, and park board. Well, we're all here together so we can all hear what each other's saying without it having to be filtered or really any part of a conversation and things of that nature. We have residents from the community as well here too that will want to get their input as well too as we begin this discussion process. So, any questions on any of that background up to this point? Again, the main goal here and the objective that we gave C2AE in this study was get from West Michigan to Old City Park. There's still other connections that we have yet to do in Boyne City. We need to get from Old City Park to the trailhead that we're going to have for the new Boyne Valley Trail, which currently terminates near the wastewater treatment plant and where we'll have a trailhead at the airport terminal as well, too. That's on our radar, too. That isn't the purpose of tonight's discussion. Primarily, if there's something tangentially that we think ties them two together, let's get it out on the table. But again, our main focus is West Michigan to Old City Park. So, I know most of the boards and commissions should have been hit with a bunch of emails, with a whole bunch of maps and things of that nature. We have some hard copies. We have tablet size of some of these maps that we're going to be looking at here in a second. We have some cost estimates. We don't have enough for everybody nowhere near. If there's somebody at the end of the night that wants to get a paper copy, contact, let Barb know. Either before you leave here tonight, she can get your name and contact information. We can get you a hard copy so you can review that in more depth later on. So, most of the folks introduced themselves here from the boards and commission. Again, I'm Michael King, the city manager, Larry Fox from C2AE, and hopefully most of you know our director of public works, coming close to a year now, Tim Fox. So I can't say our new director of public works anymore. So, without any further ado, I'm going to get us back to, hang on a second, right screen. Oh, there it is. That's the one I want. There we go. Okay, this is the overview map for the route that Larry is going to be walking us through and how we got there today. So, Larry, is there anything else you need me to say as a way of introduction?
No, that was a good introduction. Be happy to take it from here. So, if you don't mind, we'll go through a little more background on this. First off, I'm Larry Fox. I'm with C2AE. I'm in the Gaylord office. And we've been the city's consulting engineer for the past 15 years plus. I just want to demonstrate a little credibility with you as far as trail design goes, just so you know we have some experience in this. We've been have experience in development, design, and funding of non-motorized trails approximately 100 miles of non-motorized trails in northern Michigan and quickly expanding. We've done three sections of the Iron Bell Trail, Toski to Lansom Trail, Burt Lake Trail, West Branch River Trails, North and South Higgins Lake State Park Trails. Those are just a few. C2AE is also teamed with Emily Meyerson of Meyerson Consulting, who many of you may have heard of through previous trail work. She's been active in trail development in northern Michigan the last 15 years. So she's provided some insight into this project as well. And also wanted to mention that C2AE was recently selected on a qualifications basis for the design and development of 42 miles of trail from Traverse City to Charlevoix. And that selection team consisted of representatives of Networks Northwest, TARP Trails, Top of Michigan Trails Council, the DNR, and MDOT. So
you've been hired for that project?
We have.
Oh, congratulations. I didn't hear that.
Thank you. So anyways, we do know something about trails. As far as background and overview, Mike already mentioned that we previously developed and reviewed options for trail running. And then in spring of this year, City hired C2AE to develop plans for road improvements for the resurfacing of North Lake in West Michigan to take it for a winter zone last year to get out to where the trail currently ends. And then it's kind of like a second phase of that, also hired us to do this analysis of trail routing to go along with that. It would not be built at the same time. The road reconstruction will be next spring. But we start the planning effort for the trail development. And so the purpose of that, or our scope of services, is further definition of trail routing, development of conceptual plans and cost opinions to be used as a basis for trail funding applications, basically. So as a starting point, you do enough information to get a good layout, know that it's feasible to build, and then develop some cost opinions so that you can proceed further with it. So we met with the city in the summer, and the city staff had discussions about the various trail routings. We actually did a physical walkthrough of the trail routes, and basically that was probably the most important aspect of this whole thing. Is looking at it on paper is one thing, but actually walking and physically seeing the challenges that you're looking at was very important. So the conceptual plans and cost opinions that we're showing tonight were developed based on that field investigation. And again, as Mike mentioned, this is a recommendation for discussion, further development, and then we could finalize this for your future use. As far as route selection goes, the goal is to build a trail that people want to use, that is safe, accessible, and enjoyable. And these are just some of the factors that went into what we're showing you tonight. Was a review of the challenges and opportunities for each trail route, a review of the potential crossing locations of West Michigan and North Lake Streets, trail user safety, opportunities for a separated trail where practical, provide the best aesthetic views and incorporate the lakeshore where practical, and work within the existing city road right-of-ways or city properties where possible as well. So that's the background. That's the basis for where we're at right now. So I guess with that, we'll try to go through a little more detail of each of the scenarios, the different segments, and costs.
Larry, you had a question in the
back? Yes.
Can you define a little bit more how your company defines safety parameters when you're assessing a certain area?
Sure. Well, we generally rely on the ASHTO guidelines, which are the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials. So they've got published guidelines on bike and non-motorized facilities. There's also the Americans with Disabilities Act, and basically road safety parameters. So things such as at a crossing, the number of vehicles, the available sight distance, speed limits, all of those things go into the assessment of safety. So there's no one thing I can mention. There's a myriad of considerations, and there is no perfect trail, especially in this case. There are no trail segments without some challenges, but we believe that this provides a safe and aesthetically pleasing route.
What type of parameters can you tell us as neighbors geographically as far as the condition of the road and the landscape on which the route's being laid out?
I think if we go through the presentation first, maybe someone's question might be answered as we go.
Any other preliminary questions before Larry dives deeper?
Okay, so I'm not sure how best to do this because we have a couple of different pieces of information that are going to be hard to show on the screen at one time. So I don't know how many of you got the chance to view this electronically. So we have the plans of the proposed route, and this is the overview, and then there's each individual segment has a detailed sheet. So I recognize if you printed them on 11, or 8.5 by 11, they're pretty small to read. But then we also had a cost opinion that had a summary on the front sheet of all the various segments, then individual segments with costs, and then just some notes that went along with each segment that kind of went through the challenges for each segment with some related photographs of what some of those challenges look like. So I guess I'm going to try and do an overview of the project first, and then we'll come back and look at the cost estimates and challenges and go from there. So if you don't mind, this is just the...
Good talk about that.
No, you can't see it.
Oh, the laser? Yeah, it doesn't work on TV screens. No.
Okay, so this is the overview. There's a color-coded key here for what we believe is the best route for each segment. So this is made up of multiple segments. So starting at West Michigan, where the trail currently ends, what we would propose is a shared or a separated trail, so a 10-foot separated trail, that, let's just go through this quickly. So that first segment from West Michigan to Charlevoix.
What color?
Is the orange dash, that's a separated trail. Then from Charlevoix to Lower Lake is what we're calling an adjacent trail along the roadway, basically connected to the roadway because of some limitations in that area. Then the blue is what we're calling a shared use roadway. So this is where the bikes, pedestrians, and vehicles all share the roadway. Red there is a different. That's also a separated trail, but it's along the roadway. Then the yellow that goes through the open space would be a separated trail, potentially behind Honeywell. Could be a boardwalk, that's the green. Option would be a separated trail, and then a further option would be go back to North Lake Street with an adjacent trail. And then through the city park, basically a separated trail until we get to River Street, which would be shared use roadway. So I think now if we go to each individual segment, we'll talk about those. All right, what's important too is if you look at this lower right, so what we call this is a typical cross section. So this is the separated trail along the roadway, and there's some requirements that go into this. The first thing we're trying to do is develop a trail that meets the Asheville guidelines. That's the easiest to fund because the Transportation Alternatives Program and also the DNR Trust Fund would encourage the use of those. MDOT TAP grant is much more strict about the requirements for that. So this shows the existing roadway. It shows the paved shoulder. We would desire to have a minimum distance between the edge of the pavement and the trail of 5 feet separation. Then we have to have a 10-foot trail and a 2-foot clear zone to make this a compliant trail. So that's what this would accomplish in this section. So that's what we're calling the separated trail. And again, it's along West Michigan from Boyne City Road to Charlevoix Street is where this could be applied based on right-of-way, obstacles, and all those things. Yes.
Larry, would that look a lot like major portions of the first segment of the Boyne City Charlevoix?
Exactly. That's what it would tend to be. Yes. Yes.
Is that the south side of West?
Yes, that is on the south
Why
side.
Why is that selection made as opposed to the north side?
All right, so there's some various criteria that went into that as well. So right where that segment one note shows is a very steep embankment that comes down very close to the roadway. So one of the obstacles or challenges of going to the north side would be we'd have to build a retaining wall, cut a lot of that hill back. And so there's a cost factor, but more than anything else, the overriding concern here was crossing that roadway and then getting back across that roadway. So in this case, actually that crossing location would not be that bad because there is significant sight distance in each direction. We could set up some advanced flashers, warnings, and some, you know, high designation trail crossing, but crossing back is problematic. And so that was one of the overriding concerns about going on the north side of the road. So there's a couple of challenges, one being that embankment, the requirement to build fairly significant retaining wall, and then also the crossing. Okay, the next segment.
Larry, do you want to just identify what the difference between the brown line and the blue dashed line is?
Yes, so the blue dashed line is an existing shared use roadway that's already in use. It's not well marked, I don't believe, is it?
No.
But it's kind of there for people to use now. And so we just wanted to show that it still would remain as part of the trail network should people still want to use it.
That's more of a scenic route as well, too, right?
Myra, in this section in particular, is the road center line moved to the north at all?
It's fairly well centered in the right-of-way. These have been surveyed. These are accurate road right-of-way lines now that we have on our drawings. So there is sufficient space to fit it in there. Yes.
Our power lines and telephone poles and embankment, are those variables considered as far as the geographics in this plan? Or is it the safety aspect of where crossing a road is more accessible?
Well, all of those factors go in here, and the power poles and power lines certainly were considered, and you'll hear that as a challenge for a lot of the segments that we have here. Okay.
Anything else on this segment from anybody at this
point? Again, we're going to go back and just show a little bit more detail when we go to the photos and the cost opinion. Okay, segment two is probably the most challenging. This again is shown on the south side of Michigan, West Michigan. So in this particular case, if you look at the typical cross section, we have a couple of different proposed typical cross sections. There are alternates. This is the one that takes up the least space. So we're looking to condense this trail down as to minimize the impacts, basically, on the adjacent property owners, landscaping, grades, all of those types of things. This particular section, because we would not have 5 feet of separation from the paved lane, and we would not have 2-foot clear zone, 10-foot trail, 2-foot clear zone, would not be ASHTO compliant, would likely not be fundable by the TAP grant, although the trust fund would likely consider this. They're easier to get waivers in certain situations, and they're more concerned about ADA compliance and those types of things than the MDOT, who's very specific about those types of design requirements. So in this case, for that block, we would cut in basically a 2-foot curb and gutter, concrete curb and gutter, at the lane line. So we'd still maintain the full width of the lane. Then beyond that, we would build an 8-foot trail with a 2-foot clear zone, so it has to be 10 feet wide. And then for the westerly section of that, it's hard to read on the plan view, because of the grades there, we would require a retaining wall. And if you have a retaining wall with a drop-off, you also need a railing. So that would be for the westerly section. The easterly section would still retain the curb and gutter, still have the same width, and then still be a non-compliant, but would not require the retaining wall. And we're going to come back and talk about more of the challenges in this section. Okay, segment three.
I've got a couple questions.
Yes.
Along that. In the typical cross section, you've got a 3-to-1. Is that a rise over run on the slope?
3 horizontal to 1 vertical.
Oh, so it's, okay, typically it's seen as rise over run. So it's, okay. So it's not as steep as...
It's not like this, it's more like this.
Okay. And when you're doing these projects...
Those shown on that side are already there, and they're less than 3-on-1, actually some of them go up, so...
Okay.
It's a typical.
Are we going to be repaving the street also in these sections?
Not as part of this project. It's going to be repaved this spring, but it's just a mill and resurface.
Okay.
So we're not changing grades.
Because one of my questions on that is, on the north side of this street, there's a sidewalk. And if we're future planning to do the redo the streets, we could get rid of that sidewalk, and then this would become an ash hill.
Get rid of the sidewalk and push the road north?
Yeah, because if we're doing a trail down on this side of the street and we're wanting people to use that trail, why do we have a sidewalk on the opposite side of the street? And then we could maybe get some funding for this. The other little thing is, I'm the person that just bought the lot where this whole wall is going in. I'm completely in support of this trail, but I want to work hand in hand with you guys on it, because essentially you probably pull plot records and whatnot, and that house was a two-lot house, so we'll still have to have access for a driveway there,
right,
and everything.
Okay, and we'll come back and talk about some of those challenges, but we're glad that you're here. That's exactly why we're having this meeting.
We have questions because we're his neighbor.
Have you done a traffic analysis?
We have not.
The summertime traffic loads.
We have
lived on West Michigan Avenue for 35 years, and believe me, I can no longer do the 100-yard dash in 97 to get to my mailbox and live. The traffic in the summer is immense, so.
So is that would be supporting not crossing the roadway?
Pardon me?
So you're saying that it's good not to cross the roadway?
No,
keep them over there.
Yeah, keep the sidewalk there, because there is a crossway. And there is a blinking light. But when you can hardly get out of your driveway, when you see little people on their bicycles going with their parents trying to go that way, it's very concerning. So even if you do put a trail in there, getting out of those driveways are going to be really, with the traffic as it is. I don't know if we need to put some speed bumps in or have it monitored more closely.
One more real quick question on this, some clarification for the cross section. You've got 33 feet from the center line. Is that to the property line?
Yes.
So you've still got, what is it, another 25? Another 6 feet of buffer and right-of-way with this plan. Because you've got 25 feet from the center line to the... So there's another additional 6 feet of space you theoretically could take.
Right, so that's a really good point, because if we were to try to put that same separated trail that we're doing on the west side, basically we would be going to the 33-foot line, and the disruption that would cause would be much more significant than this. So one of the reasons we're looking at a non-ASHTO compliant trail was because the city's already kind of set that doesn't look practical, and trying to make the grades work at the right-of-way line would be very impractical. So this is kind of trying to minimize the impacts the best we can. Yes?
I live at the intersection of Lower Lake and West Michigan, and I can tell you, well, I don't want to tell you how many times I've heard brakes squealing. People come along there, they're on the south side of the lake, and they just make a nice curve, and the kids just take their feet off the pedals and the handlebars and go zooming down the hill. But they make a big arc as they come around. When people that come in on the sidewalk to the north side, when they cross the street, they stop and they look down the street. So even when the families are there with the little children, they make them wait at the light. Otherwise, they just come zooming around there. And there's a lot of traffic on there now that we have so many vacation rental properties. The house next to me had 9 cars. Next one down there, 4. It's just a lot of traffic down there that I don't think you're aware of now that the land ownership is different.
Okay. All right. So that's segment 2. Segment 3 is also shown in the next sheet. So this is basically just a shared use roadway. So what we can do is increase the signage and pavement markings to indicate that it is a shared use roadway and intended to be shared. So there is also a sidewalk that's along the north side of Lower Lake that can still be used. So it creates still the non-motorized path connection and by utilizing a shared use roadway, which is not unusual. And again, it's intended for low volume, low speed roads, residential type roads.
Are there any studies that say that a shared use road actually slows down traffic?
Well, I think that's the purpose of the signage and...
I mean, without the signage, I mean, just when you see a path, a bike path right there on the side of the road...
Well, in this case, the bike path's not on the side of the road. The bikers share the road. So it's a shared use roadway. So the bicyclists are in the roadway.
And which... Well, there's a two-foot buffer.
No, not in this case. A shared use road.
Not on the blue section.
The section
on Lower Lake.
Yeah, we're on segment 3. Okay. Sorry about that.
I was talking about that red section.
Yes, no. We're on segment 3 here, Lower Lake. Sorry. Okay.
Ready to switch?
Yep. Okay, segment 4.
Boyne, finish up segment 3.
Yes, segment 3. Yes, it continues on Lower Lake back to North Lake. And at that intersection, then we would pull back off and have a separated trail along the south side of the road. Okay. We did walk that. There is sufficient room. There's obviously some obstacles there, but we think it's workable. There's a ditch that we would have to, a small bridge, boardwalk, something to that effect, but still workable and feasible as a separated trail. Yes?
Were there going to be any types of signals there at that end of Lower Lake?
See, we're not crossing, so that we would have signage getting off from the separated trail onto the roadway, but there's no signalization on the roadway.
Because I live on Lower Lake there, and the other entrance that we were just talking about on segment 2, I can't even imagine trying to cross at that section. To get over. I know that blinking light is there, but it doesn't matter. If you're there with a car, it doesn't even matter. I can't even imagine walking or having a bike there. It's very difficult at that particular point.
When we did do this walkthrough, we did purposely go both sides of the intersection of Lower Lake and North Lake, trying to see if there was a way to put a safe crossing there, even with advanced warning signs. And the site distance is not good.
It's really difficult.
Yeah.
Okay,
segment 4, I think we just finished. Separated trail to the marina, boat launch, sorry. And segment 5 then is the open space, which we're showing just a separated trail. It's kind of like a placeholder. We know the city's going to go through a planning effort, how to best utilize that space. So that thing can be routed anywhere through there, but it gives us an idea of cost and what the general idea of that trail would be. Okay, this one obviously is going to need some investigation with Honeywell, but this one would be the first priority and the first cost estimate would be based on building a boardwalk section that would be on top of that concrete retaining wall that's out there. And when we go through the photos, we'll get a good picture of that. So aesthetically, that would be very nice, very attractive. It's well elevated, be safe from the lake. But obviously, we've got a private party here who needs to be consulted about this. Second option, especially if cost becomes a concern, and we'll talk more about that, would be the yellow just north of, or just east of the green, would be a separated trail that's just inside of the concrete retaining wall now and between that and the parking area. If Honeywell chooses not to participate or is not interested in this, the alternate would be to go back to North Lake and then have a probably adjacent section as well. So on the back of curb, have a 10-foot or 8-foot path.
Larry, I assume that means you don't have the right of way, you don't have an easement along the lake?
That is correct. The city, I think the city wanted to wait until they got some public comment before they approached Tunnel Island. Is that correct, Mike?
We've made some early overtures. Let them know that these plans are available. We haven't heard that from them.
Okay.
Okay. But correct, we don't have an easement or anything through there.
When did you achieve it?
Don't know.
I have one more question.
Yes.
When you talked about traffic studies, have you thought about the launch ramp where you're talking about the trail's going to come back in there? In the summertime, that's even difficult to walk. Because I've done that. I've walked from Miller Lake to trying to get into town. But it's really difficult. The boaters, you know, they're watching cars and ready to pull in, and they've got trailers. That's a difficult spot.
Yeah. All of this is going to require good pavement marking and good signage for notification of both the motors and the pedestrians. All of this, too, I want to kind of keep in mind is, with the exception of the portion, segment two, I think we're calling it, there's still the two striped lanes in the roadway that should a bicyclist, say the hardcore bicyclist that just assume be in the roadway, we're not changing that. We're allowing a different opportunity for non-motorized that are more casual bikers and, of course, walkers and
strollers. They're going to have a proportion of bicyclers that will not take the lower lane route because they're looking for speed and you know, it's faster to go down the hill. You know, it kind of is more fun, but also, you know, grade is the danger of all, particularly with the traffic. I like it, so.
I tend to think those are the experienced bicyclers,
yes,
that are going to stay on the roadway, and they're making that choice. So. Okay, segment seven then is utilizing city property to go along the lakeshore as much as possible, go through the marina, and then end up opposite River Street to where we would have a designated crossing and then utilize River Street as a shared use roadway. Again, bicyclists in the roadway, there are 6-foot sidewalks on both sides of that too for pedestrians, so again, can be signed and pavement marking. All right, so I think we've covered a lot of things. Let's go back and see what I missed when we go through the cost estimates and the photos.
Before we do that, let's hit any other general questions with regards to the overall route. Adam?
I just got a question on the segment seven. I know we said we're trying to get from point A to the old city park, but this is so strange to me that we're forcing bikers into a parking lot where we want to bring them downtown. So bringing them into a parking lot where people are backing out of spaces and stuff seems strange to me. So online you had the Michigan Municipal League and the MSU Place Plan, and they did some designs where they were going to be doing it like a bridge across Boyne River. Why aren't we bringing that bike trail further down that way, I guess is the question.
Because the goal is to get it to the trailhead, which is an old city park. That's a whole different project for another time.
Okay.
Potentially.
Well, what's going to be done through that parking lot then? Are we just dropping the bikers off there, or is there going to be any sort of safety in that area?
Which parking lot? Are you talking about the purple parking area, Adam? The blue at Old City Park?
Yeah, is that Lake Street, or is that...
That's River Street. So it's the roadway itself. It's got perpendicular parking on it.
Oh, okay. So okay, it's through that. I thought it was...
Yeah.
You said a question you mentioned about the point on the water, or you mentioned the point on the water. One of the ideas in going on the water really seemed like some enthusiasm was the idea of a well-lit walkway that connects all the parks all the way over to Peninsula Park. I wonder if in this project, even though we say it's two separate things, there's an overlap there in the route of that well-lit boardwalk like idea that was popular in this. And I wonder if those two ideas can be at least thought about when we're doing the design, that there would be a portion of that where we want to be, have that characteristic that's good for walking at night and so on. Whereas bike, other non-motorized users don't really have that requirement.
Two other quick questions, sorry. I don't know who can answer this, but during the winter, is snow going to be removed from the trail? Do we know on that?
Probably not.
Okay. And are there going to be any points where there's a safety stop where bikers can pull off and then check their air pressure or anything like that along this trail, or is it just...
I think along this trail you've got plenty of areas that you probably could stop. I mean, you have the various intersections, you've got the main boat launch, you're going to have parking areas probably at the, at least one parking area at the open space. You'll be going very close to the parking areas behind the Little League field here, along the marina. I mean, I think there's a lot of places where people can exit safely.
What's the total mileage?
I didn't add that up. I think if you're quick, you could get your phone or calculator out, you can add those all up. And
so with the traffic study, I'm sorry, are you going to do any traffic studies of the area along West Michigan, the one we're really concerned about?
So I'm not sure what you mean by a traffic study. The city does have traffic counts.
Two curves where people, you know, where we're concerned about safety and the distance of driveway once you do your easements, people getting out of their garages and not backing into somebody on the bike trail whizzing by, the number of driveways.
I think all of that would be taken into consideration during the actual design. But a traffic study implies something different to me than I think it does to you.
I mean, some of the semis that go through there, yes, are amazing.
In traffic, speed is a different topic as well. So that could be more of a monitoring and enforcement as opposed to trying to change something as well.
Good, you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, since, you know, we're trying to connect the trails, I'm just wondering if through Veterans Park there, rather than going through the park, if we just stayed on the sidewalk there, maybe widen that path that we could connect and then deal with a path through Veterans Park at another time.
I suppose.
That would go right in front of, you know, right from the boat launch, just come straight down where that sidewalk already is to get the connector and then deal with the trail through the park and the boardwalk at another point in time.
You get a lot of traffic.
What they were thinking.
At Veterans, I mean, coming in and out, so I can see that would be.
Well, and to that point, the sidewalk is actually attached to the curb in front of Honeywell, is it not?
No. I think there's a small.
There's a small green space.
Yeah, there's a small green space. A
couple feet, maybe. Okay. One or two. It's pretty tight, but there is a little green space.
So is the sidewalk right up on Honeywell's property line, then, most likely?
I don't know that.
That's just a question. Like, if you were going to buy that, it sounds like that 8 foot is kind of your minimum target for this trail.
Yeah.
Is that accurate statement? I mean, 10 foot is the one that makes it
compliant.
But 8 foot sounds like the minimum goal you're shooting for, even in the shared.
Yeah, that's kind of typical.
Okay, thank you.
So yeah, there's no reason you couldn't decide that that's a better route with a future option as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's probably less expensive, obviously, if you include the boardwalk, to just do the sidewalk. Why need? There could be some issues near the city hall right out front here in terms of that space, but I think 8 foot is certainly achievable.
I think in Veterans Park, one of the things that, and this could be as simple as really studying, thinking it through, is how do you separate a bicycle pathway from pedestrians in there? Because we have a lot of activities in Veterans Park that involve pedestrians, and
you're not, the pedestrians aren't going to want to get out of the way of the bicycles. That interaction is usually one where people get hurt. So it's, you know, our ability to think that through and where can you have the bicycles kind of away from where the traffic areas are for people. And kind of think through the various activities we have that go on in Veterans Park during the summer.
In some of those more pedestrian-heavy areas like Veterans Park and stuff, can we widen the trail to allow, like, the pedestrian space and then the biking then?
Yeah.
I mean, with a little buffer?
I don't think of it. Okay, I'm with Michigan State. And, you know, you have a bicycle, a series of bicycle trails with pedestrian walkways, and how we kind of think that and keep those things separate, because you start crossing them over and somewhere along the line someone's going to get whacked. It's more of an observation, just a thought process of how we do that. In the earlier segments, you were looking at the options of how you go around Honeywell. And the one that you're considering, I think, is the better option, trying to stay away from getting out to the street, would be, I think, highly positive. It's too many things, too many people trying to use the same pathways.
Michael Shum, I'm with Parks and Rec, but I'm not speaking for them. They're all here tonight and speak on their own. I'm also president of the local bike club, North Country Bicycle Club. But on my own thoughts, two things. One, going to your comment, we have plenty of places with a 10-foot bike trail with pedestrians and cyclists and rollerbladers and skateboarders, people rocking dogs and taking their babies and baby buggies, and we all seem to get along without any incidents. So I'm not too concerned with a 10-foot trail as opposed to a sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So, but the other thing I wanted to comment about was, one, sections 5, 6, and 7 showed alternatives for a good scenic value. They all belong in our plan for the future, but I think they can all be excused right now, because the first thing we want to do is get a trail that goes from the end of the trail out there to the city park, and we can do that going just off the road. And on those 5, 6, and 7, you can go right alongside the road, which was just brought up, I think, by Hugh or somebody here. Just shoot that trail straight through, and it's going to take half the cost out of the project, make it tolerable. And then as we develop the park, well, first of all, we got a big revision to the park coming. When we expand the marina, we will expand and do the beautiful park, or the beautiful walkway along the waterfront at that time. And the same thing in the open space. We will ultimately have a nice trail along the front of the open space, but maybe that's part of the open space development project, as opposed to right now, we need to get a trail to get these people, you know, off the road and into a safe condition, get them into town. We got hundreds of people out there in the state park coming into town. They want to get to Kilwins or wherever they're going, the beer garden or someplace, and we don't have that available to them. So let's focus on getting people in and out of the town along this corridor as the first priority, with the beautiful things coming in the next generation.
In response to that, if we're getting rid of 5, 6, and 7, then why even take them along that street? Why not just go back out behind everything and connect to the trailhead?
So rather than skip over, they stay on North Lake that full length?
Yeah, but I mean, you said you've done studies and looked at different various paths and going back in that way, but I don't see a point if you're getting rid of 5, 6, and 7, that segment, to even have a path along Lake Street there. It's pretty narrow in some of those spots where on Honeywell, and where do you cross then if you take 5, 6, and 7 away? Do you, are you, you're, oh, we're going straight back up to
To stay on.
To stay on the road.
To stay on.
To stay on.
The existing sidewalk, yeah.
I have to politely disagree, and I'm going to speak as a bicyclist now, that I ride often along Division, and there's about a four to five foot bike trail along there, as well as a sidewalk on the opposite side of the road. And the number of people who are walking two or three abreast are completely surprised by seeing a bicycle on the bike trail is just amazing to me. So, you know, the coexisting on the bike trail, you're absolutely correct, it's got to be a minimum of 8 feet wide, and it should be considered for some striping along those lines also. But as one who rides this a fair amount, I actually do take almost exactly the route that is shown on here behind Honeywell, noting that there's a lot is fairly full, so it's going to be interesting getting the easement through there. But it is kind of nice to get back into that into the park behind City Hall along the lake, as opposed just to get away from traffic. I think people kind of enjoy not being right next to traffic all the time. So I'm in support of the kind of winding.
Other general comments? We're going to go through and hit a lot of these sections that we talked about with some more details and challenges and things of that nature. Again, we're laying this all out there. We want to get some initial inputs. Yes, Gao?
I'm someone who mostly either walks or rides a bike. I'm here by bike tonight. And I'm just so happy that this is happening. You know, there are probably some details that are yet to be worked out, but just the general concept, it's so wonderful. We on the Parks Board had this in advance to look at the engineering, and I was just so impressed and so pleased. As someone who rides, I feel totally safer by seeing this, and like I say, I usually ride or walk, and so everything about this appeals to me. And it's good engineering.
Yeah.
Okay, two quick things then. I used to ride my bike to work in Indianapolis, and they had started to put in some bike trails and whatnot, but it was so much more stressful when I was on the road riding with traffic. I would get things thrown at me. I would have people actually swerve and push me off the road. People are just inconsiderate when you're there. I mean, I was always off to the side, but I just think that a designated bike path is awesome. So there's that on my two cents. But going back to that little retaining wall, I hate to go back there, but when I build a house and go out my front door and look at it every day, is it going to be aesthetically pleasing? Is it going, or is it just going to be rough and tough industrial with,
Right. I think that's a design.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to those level of details. We want to get some discussion about the concepts that are out there, see if there's buy-in to it or tweaking that needs to be done, and then once we get kind of around a more agreed upon concept, then we're getting into the details like that. Obviously, we want to make sure that it works for everybody. We had some comments over here before.
And our cost estimating, too, is pretty conservative, so I think, you know, there's opportunity to do a good-looking wall.
Okay, and that further, please?
You skipped over the north side option quite quickly because you said there was a grade there that would be somewhat costly to move earth. I'd like to know where that is.
Where is this
grade that goes up that makes the cost option for the north side of the street?
Okay, so let's go back. That it's right there where it says basically that segment one. No, it is. So there's no sidewalk over there now because it would be very difficult to place one. So that's where the steep hillside comes down right next to
the road. Yeah, if you weigh that against the cost of what you're going to do on the other side.
Right. But I think I said the overriding concern is crossing the roadway twice in order to accomplish the same thing. So there's the cost factor. There's costs on both sides, retaining wall versus retaining wall. staying on the same side of the road is very important.
Okay, let's one conversation at a time. Hang on a second, please. I'm going to make sure we keep this under control. We want to get people's inputs out there. We're not here to have a debate on this or get it up to the nth degree. I want to make sure we get the information. We have a lot of information to go through. So we'll take a couple more questions or comments. And if we've heard it before, then let's move on so we can get through all this information. And then we'll have some more discussion. Yes, back to the back row, please.
I'm just thinking I've ridden bike trails, University of New Mexico, University of Wisconsin, and the rail trails of Missouri. And when I look at safety as also mainly riding a bicycle as my primary source of transportation, I do have concerns since I moved back to northern Michigan as to the safety of that one segment, the north versus the south side of the road. So I'm speaking also from experience, and I just, as a rider, have concerns about that segment and the amount of easement that has to be participated in those residential homes along that way.
Okay. Was there somebody else in the back there that had to have? Okay. Yes, sir.
You were talking about repaving Lake Street, correct? And it's going to be a cut in
Mill and Resurface.
What's the magnitude of difference between reconstructing the road and shifting it over to kind of equalize out the right of ways? Is there like a doubling of project costs if you add these two projects together?
Yeah, there's more than doubling the project cost to do this. The mill and resurface, you take off an inch of asphalt, inch and a half of asphalt, and put it back. And we did have this discussion before we submit a plan. And basically, you have a grant from MDOT that you will lose if you don't do something. We had to have it actually designed and submitted, and it's out for bids right now. So there was some urgency to make that determination. We did talk about potentially shifting. We looked at some options, but the cost became so much that either we would have probably had to give up the funding and not do anything and wait several years for it to come back in order to accomplish that.
Okay, so let's hold it there for a little bit. If you have some thoughts or questions, jot them down. We'll get back to them in a bit. But we got some more information that's going to hit some more of the details on it. So I assume you want to go to the cost.
And I think Mike's already said this. I'm not trying to defend this plan. I'm not trying to be defensive about it. The city is here to gain input. All of you here are part of this decision-making process. So I'm trying not to, hope I'm not giving that impression that this is the only way to do it. Okay, so we did a summary, and that's okay. I don't think the numbers are all that important right now other than to know that there are some significant costs to certain sections with a total of over about $1 million for the full length.
Anything else on that?
No, I think really I want to kind of get to some of the comments and the photographs, challenges. Okay, so segment one, we know at the bottom, even though we think we can get a separated trail in this section, there are still some challenges, the most significant being the location of the power poles. So they're basically not at the edge of the right-of-way, they're kind of right in the middle between the roadway and the right-of-way. And in order to gain that 14-foot clear space, the majority of those power poles would need to be relocated as part of this project. We did not include any costs for that. There's some question as to whether the city can require those to be relocated or whether there would be a cost associated with them. And I don't have the answer to that. It's somewhat dependent on how they were put in the first place and what kind of permits they have, if any. So that is a challenge that would have to be addressed. Okay? So we choose this route. First thing as part of the design is, how are we going to get those power poles relocated? And is there a top space?
What else do you see next,
Mike? Let's see. What else do we have? I don't know what's on those. Okay, I think that was in photos 1A and 1C, basically are just showing the power. That stake there, you can see, that is the edge of the right-of-way. So you can see there's a fair amount of room to work. It just happens the power poles are not placed in the right spot.
At Charlevoix Street?
I believe that's Charlevoix.
West Michigan and Charlevoix Street. So this would be on the south side of the intersection, looking west.
So there's that much all the way out?
You'll see some flag, some more poles, or some more of those stakes in there, and some of these other pictures. C2A had the whole right-of-way staked out, so we could...
Yeah, well, we did the field investigation, it was on stake, so we could determine where that was.
Okay.
I think the next is just another photo of power pole and the significant wiring that's on them, whether it be power or communications. I think you went the wrong way.
Yeah, I'm not sure what this is doing. There we go. There we go. Yeah. That's the power pole.
It's at John Street.
Correct.
Okay, this is segment two, so this is probably the most complicated section, and certainly have the most construction numbers listed on there. So some of the obstacles or challenges of this are require significant utility relocation, so very similar. Grade requires use of a retaining wall, so see from 2B.
2B?
Oh, yeah, 2B. Yeah, I think that was 2.
That's
2A.
If you look there, so that's my property there. Yeah. But if you look just to the right of that tree, there's an orange stake.
That's the right of way.
That's the right of way. So that's my property line from there. So there's quite a bit of space
there. Between there and the edge of the road currently?
Yeah. And quick question on this then. For, see, that tree is actually on the property, but some of it is in the right-of-way. Who's responsible for trimming the trees that go onto the trail from?
So the city would. If they overhang the trail, those branches are able to be trimmed by the city. Okay, we also have some significant landscaping in the right-of-way that would be impacted as part of this. Next photo. I think you guys have all seen this. Very beautiful landscaping. Just happens to be right where in the right-of-way, and so we have this one and the next one.
And you can see the stake right next to that tree by the white little picket area.
Yeah. Obviously more landscaping. I don't know if we put the other photo in there, but the flag, again, is on the left side of the stone retaining.
The left side.
The left side. Then. Yeah. So
that
there.
Is all right of way, yes. And then yes. All landscaping is in.
Okay, that's another. Okay, some of the driveways are already steep, and this would require some steepening. Again, that's retaining wall area. Okay. And then we'll have some drainage work that we'd have to do as part of this if we had curb and gutter. There is already some bituminous curb there, and the road has sufficient slope to provide the drainage with the curb and gutter, so it's workable. It's just another cost factor. It would not be compliant with the ASHTO standards, and I think that's pretty much it. So I think that was the most expensive section at $367,000 estimated.
Right. I have just a quick question. With the shared road on Bay Street in that area at all, is there any room on either side of that to work into that rather than go further towards the lake? You talk about the trails that are already there, that the shared roads that are already there are available on,
yes.
On Bay Street. What was the reasoning for not utilizing that instead of going further out?
For a separated trail along there?
Yeah.
One was kind of, well, I think when we talked about this quite a while ago, one was you actually have to backtrack some to get down along Bay Street.
Sure.
And right at the entrance of Bay Street and West Michigan, there is some right-of-way issues there because that big curve, because we just did the water main on West Michigan, and we've got some landscaping, we've got the big curve, and I don't think a separated trail would fit at that entrance. Not that, you know, easements couldn't be obtained, but I think it was more trying to keep it a little more direct than backtracking.
More on water.
Right.
Sure.
So, quick question, sorry. Yeah. So, in this segment two, sorry to go back to this, but if an ASHTO compliance needs 5 feet of clearance between the road and then do we need a 10-foot space also?
Yes, and okay. 2-foot clear.
So right now we have an 8-foot and we have 2-foot. So we need an additional 5 feet. Why not just take it? You've got 8 more feet of right-of-way. Why not take that 5 feet to make it ASHTO compliant?
Well,
I don't care.
It is a cost factor. It does have some significantly greater impacts on the residents there, and especially on some of the driveways. So when we do a trail, the side slope can be no greater than 2% to make it ADA compliant. A lot of those driveways now are 5% or 7% or something like that. So coming off the roadway until we get to the back of the trail, we can't go more than 2%. And so what that does is creates an issue where now we have to go back on people's properties, steepen driveways to, you know, a greater percentage. So it's really trying to fit this in there in a difficult space and trying to make the best that we can, considering costs and considering workability. So not to say it can't be done. It would require more cooperation from all of the property owners because you would require grading easements to get back on those properties.
Or is the retaining wall the biggest cost in that section probably?
Yes.
Why not just make those two sections then compliant? Because there's only two people that are affected, and that would be our property and the immediate neighbor, and then the other one up the street, they have a separate entrance around that it would be.
Yeah. You could. I mean, so that first couple hundred feet could be 10-foot compliant. You know, you'd obviously, it would obviously push the retaining wall back. Then we'd have to have some signage that says trail narrows. And then, so it's not that it can't be done, and I think the cost wouldn't change significantly because of that.
Or if we could get grants and save right. money.
Yes.
Do you have any photos of the corner there where you turned down to Lower Lake?
We do not.
I'm curious to see how much space is there that's roadway, right away.
We did not. The best we have is that aerial.
Which one?
Well, I keep going back to the over the plans. So, is that segment three? Segment two, three? I think it's sheet two.
So there's quite a few trees at that corner, which also obstruct your view when you're trying to pull out.
Right, so within the right-of-way, though, the city can do clearing.
Pardon?
Within the right-of-way, the city can do clearing to help that situation. And as a matter of fact, putting a trail in any location is going to require some tree removal. So there is Lower Lake. So
the tree line she's referring to is right.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right at the corner there, is that all private property or where?
The majority of those trees initially are on public property right away.
Yes.
Yeah, we should have. I mean, looking at the stake with the ribbon on it, showing the right-of-way, we had a photo of that. It's back there quite a ways.
Oh.
Further than you would envision when you're actually walking or driving that. I'm sure we've got in our file, just didn't.
Yeah.
I'm entirely in favor of a bike path and what you presented. It's just, I've lived there 3 years now, and just the walking from there, or riding a bike. When I have my grandkids, they don't live here. They live on a street in Indiana that doesn't have busy traffic. It's really tough to get into town with them either walking or on a bike.
Yeah. And these people, I think they've gone, but they're correct. I mean, that is not. I mean, there's some safety considerations that go with backing out of a driveway on to crossing
right,
the trail.
Right. Some of those houses don't have.
Right, there's no way to turn around.
Yeah.
No, they don't have anything there.
I mean, it is a concern, and it will require significant signage and, I guess, a warning to try to make sure that that doesn't become an issue.
Personally, I would prefer not to have the bike path as such go right down to the waterfront where you were talking around Honeywell and around that spot, the new park area. I think I'd like to see that for families, and more of a dangerous spot trying to, if I wanted to take the kids to the waterfront, I'd have to cross over that bike path, because as you said, I've been a biker in my past life too, but some people just ride pretty fast and don't signal, and I would like to see the park and the waterfront there be more family friendly.
Well, you've got a perfect opportunity on that, because separate from this project, as I think was mentioned a little bit before, we've got an overall, another planning process that's going to be looking exactly at how we want to finish out or develop the open space. We're also looking at how we can improve the access in the lower areas at Avalanche Park and updating our master plan. So specifically with regards to what you're talking about, how we use the lakefront, we're going to be having other specific discussions, and actually we have this is a good chance to get out our plug for, if you haven't completed our survey on our parks and recreation things, we really encourage everybody to do so. It has to be helpful in that process as well. So
it says it's only good until the 17th, like the survey, so you may want to...
It is. I think we bumped it out another week or so. Another week. Yes. So I think it's to the 24th now.
What I picked up out front here?
Yes, the April one, and that's also available online too.
And then when is that meeting, to talk about the open space?
December 4th at 5:30 p.m. They're back to back, one from 5:30 to 6:30, and then 6:30 to 7:30 for the second park.
When did you say?
That's on December 4th. It's on the city's Facebook page and on the website.
Sure, that may have something.
Okay, what page do you want me at now, Larry?
I think actually that was the mostly obstacle. I think I'm not talking right.
Larry, are there any obstacles in front of the landings here?
I had mentioned that there is a drainage way that would require a bit of a boardwalk or some. I mentioned culvert to Mike, he said no, so.
Basically, between their entrance, that'd be their south entrance. And the boat launch parking lot entrance. We got that little creek that flows through from that artesian well across the street at the manufactured housing community. And we try to encourage them to try and do something with it in a decorative type of natural setting. So we did have discussions a few years ago with, the way that creek or whatever you want to call it makes its way along the boat launch to Lake Charlevoix. There was some discussion whether we were going to tube that or not. We decided that we were going to try to keep it as natural as possible.
And hopefully my last question to you, Dad. We talked about this plan, but no one has ever said, timing. What's the timing on this? When are we wanting to start and complete?
Well, first we have to come up with, as a community, as a consensus of what we want to do. That's the overwhelming priority. There have been some discussions with regards to a number of these plans that are going on, whether there might be opportunities to apply this by April to the state for going after some of these grant funds that we're talking about. You know, we're going to have to pick priorities as to which grants we want to apply for. You know, we've got the open space improvements, we've got these trail projects, we've got a lot of different things. We're going to have to, again, first come with consensus and then pick our priorities and go after those.
I think, it's a big project, however you break it down, in terms of the number of phases. And right now, we're going through our Parks and Recreation Master Plan update. So anything that kind of moves towards developing a phasing plan with potential funding really needs to be part of that process if that's what the community wants. So now is the time for kind of the next five-year horizon to make those changes and line it up so that we can get the grants.
Dean.
You didn't really answer the question completely. completely, but in the minimum, it's years, right?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, because it takes a while until it's...
I couldn't answer the question completely because I don't have an answer
for it. I know, but in the minimum, years. And, but still, today, people are trying to get from the end of that trail into town, so they're trying to weave their way through. And I wonder if there's anything, as you're doing a survey, that we could do in the short term to at least improve the safety on that side of the road. It seems to me the two spots, you know, when you weave in and out on the other streets, that the spots when my wife and I ride it, which we do frequently, that are most uncomfortable are between John Street and Lower Lake. So a small portion of segment one and then segment two. And then again between Lower Lake and as you go around the landings there, so you get to the boat launch. Mm-hmm. After you get there, then you can use the sidewalk. It just doesn't feel as you're not gripping the handlebars quite as tightly.
And so basically, the two red sections on the map.
Yeah, a little bit of the orange. Is there anything we can do in the short term, like within a year, in our projects, even if we had an extra foot and a half of fresh pavement there? It just made it seem a little bit you're less right up to the fog line. That would help us as a short-term remedy.
I have one suggestion. One thing that you can do is to stripe the lanes a little tighter. Mm-hmm. You can do 10-foot lanes if you want. You've got 11 now.
You're talking about vehicle traffic lanes.
Vehicle traffic lanes. So it doesn't change any, it doesn't cost anything other than restriping.
Which we're going to do as part of the road project.
Which they're going to do as part of the road project.
It's a good thought, because even when you get to town in the new section up Lake Street, there's the writing on the edge there is less hair raising because it's all fresh. Even though it's not very wide, right? It just feels safer doing that. So by doing the fresh pavement and then maybe watching our striping, we could improve it in the short run.
So going back to that, if you're looking at quick fixes for those two red areas. I mean, the striping has a couple different benefits. By creating the narrower lanes, that's a traffic calming technique that usually does have some impact in slowing traffic down because people think they have less room to work with. So that's generally something that we've done throughout the town. In addition to that, there may be some opportunity to do a little bit extra shoulder, put an extra foot or so on something like that. That'd be an additional cost of the city that won't be covered in the grant, but that'd be something that we could potentially get done, as part of this next project while we're still working on these granting agencies. Even if we applied for funds for, going back to Dean's comment, if we were able to, let's say we all agreed on the concept for the trail and we wanted to apply for it in one fell swoop in the grant, we'd still be a year or two off from once we get the grant to get that road project.
And I also wonder if at the same time we could do a little bit more on signage. Even in that, on Lower Lake, the hill down Lower Lake, it's very, very tempting to go as fast as you can down there because it's the only hill there is, And even a little bit, that might encourage folks to slow down a little bit. Again, these are short-term solutions.
Yeah.
But they might help with the flow a little bit for people that try and make their way back and forth. Good point.
Other comments? Yes, please.
Going along with what you had just mentioned, if there could be a continuation of the sidewalk from here past through the boat launch ramp over to Lower Lake, that would be great because you don't always want to cross over in front of the grocery store and then cross back over again if you're going to come here to the park. So that would be helpful, I think. And then I also think there should be some crosswalks designated to go over to the grocery store. A lot of people that use the park run over to the grocery store, but there's no crossing there between the gas station and the grocery store. It's pretty crowded there too.
That's a great point. It's very rare we don't have any designated crosswalks on that in town.
Then you get the boats.
Well, the boat launch going to the gas station, anything over there. You got to go all the way down Honeywell to find a designated crosswalk.
Yeah, Boatwood Street thing. Right.
Is that something to incorporate into the open space then? Maybe some signage that directs people this way and across?
Some people may recall, I'm trying to remember how much it was publicized, two or three. 3 years ago, we had some students from Michigan State University that took a real deep look at the open space. And one of the things that they came up with is this exact point that you're bringing up, which was crosswalks to get people from, you know, if they're coming in by boat or they're using the open space, you know, a lot of them are going to want to go to the, to get a pizza across the street or get something at Family Fair. How do we get them across? So there were some concepts in that as well, too. And we're sharing those concepts with our planners on that project. Yes?
I'm sorry to step out. I'm very much in support of doing something as part of the repaving plan along Baker Narrow, the lanes, and that would, just to give another foot or two to the shoulder on the side where the bike lane would be phenomenal. But one of the things I have noticed on other roads, and this is especially going out of town towards Advance, is so often the grade coming into the shoulder is eroded onto the shoulder such that that decreases the available width. So if you could, when you're doing the repaving, make sure that the grade is not too steep into there.
Right to the edge of the shoulder.
Right to the edge of the shoulder.
So there's some type of a buffer there from the grade is what you're talking about.
Correct.
So it doesn't just spill out onto the paved area.
Correct.
Larry, you may be able to answer this question, because you talked about narrowing the lanes, and if we're restriping them, can we narrow them and shift them? So can we push, or is there a shoulder requirement? So if you narrow them a foot on each side and shift them, you could gain 2 feet on one side and make that a bigger bike lane. Does that make sense?
There's not any regulation against that I know of. But it's typical, and drivers are used to having the crown point, the center line, as the center of the road. So when you change that, especially if the pavement marking goes away or it snows, it gets disregarded, and they're going to drive back to where that crown point is.
Yes,
so we're talking a lot about people coming into town. What about people going out of town? That creates certain issues for families going back out to the state park, say. We use that as an example. What's a suggested route for them to go?
It's the same. It's a 10.
I know for the existing trail, but we try to do something, you know, immediately to address certain issues.
I think if you're doing that, if you could gain some width on the shoulders at some point, then you'd have to create some type of. But generally, they'd be on the north side of the road at that point. You almost want to create some type of a crosswalk or something to get them back onto the trail in West Michigan. Mm-hmm. Somewhere along in there, if they are like your typical biker and they're on the edge of the road coming into town, that's not too big a deal, but because it's on the same side as the county trail, going out, there's some point where we've got to get them across the street to do that.
What I see people doing is using the sidewalk on the north side of the road outbound.
That's what I use. That's what I use. But I use that until I get to John Street, then I kind of back through the loop.
Then you're out of Michigan, you're good.
Yeah.
Another thing you can consider is not waiting for grant funding, but to utilize city funds to do the first section to get you up to Charlevoix Street or near Charlevoix Street. And perhaps even city forces saving money on this. Tim, I talked about your budget, so.
What Larry's talking about is, to kind of tie it back to some of the other conversation, is in some respects this is kind of the easiest section to put in.
Yeah.
It isn't where one of the crunch points are that Dean was mentioning before, but when we're out walking that trail, when we're out walking along that, we're looking at, okay, is that a potential that we could do that ourselves and kind of get a quick access, and that would make it a lot easier, especially if some people are, they wouldn't have to do the backtrack then, they could either get to that, forget the name of these two streets, Mechanics and Status. You know, they could come back here and then pick up if they wanted to.
Where's the existing crosswalk there, Mike?
There is a crosswalk at the intersection of John right here.
Right.
And this is where, just past John Street, where the sidewalk kind of does this curve, is where you really hit the embankment, just down from the apartments, the Silver Harbor Apartments. And that, yeah, that would be massive. I mean, it could be done. I mean, you've seen it on the trails like the Harbor Springs, where they really cut into those banks, but that was, I would assume, pretty expensive. Yes?
Yeah, quite honestly, I mean, as one who does take that back track, even though a short stint to go up to Mechanic and then to direct them back temporarily, but then to, if city forces or whatever, paving, segment two is by far the most, I would say, constricted.
Yes.
Is it going to be a paved trail? Is that
yes.
An asphalt?
That's the yes. Very much like the trail on Division Street, or the county trail, or the one that we're doing in Boyne Valley. Those are all paved, non-motorized trails. A lot of commonality. Any comments or questions that haven't been brought up, or things that are on your mind with regards to this as we kind of work our way through it? Dean?
Just one comment. The projects take time. The residents, of course, have concerns about that safety and the construction stuff, the impact on their property and so on. The county went through all of us, you know, in the development of their project. I wonder if one of these opportunities to get people together, we could invite folks from the county who have addressed some of the issues and learn from their experiences as well.
Rather than repeat that,
it would be a bad idea.
Have the homeowners along there been contacted at this
point? Not at this point. We put up our public information signs. It was, you know, there was some comments on it. The main purpose of this was to get the three boards together to discuss it, to get those discussions kind of started. You know, the additional comments we got from the public are so much the better, but I'm assuming at some point in the future, as we narrow this down, we're going to have a much more direct public input meeting from the members of the public that are along these routes.
Larry, what was the cost of the boardwalk? We're going behind Honeywell there.
That was $274,000 for 440 feet.
One of the things that I was looking at as we're looking through these, and kind of goes to Mike's point with regards to it, whether we just went through and did the, I think his comment was, you know, kind of more of a straight shot along the edge of the road type of thing. A lot of that's going to depend on what we're going to go for funding, I think, as well, too. We have to keep that in mind. Because I think you only have one shot for a trail grant along here for any of these segments. If we put a trail out by the road and we go for grant funds, that's our one shot, and everything else will be on us. We put the trail. So I think at some point we have to think about, okay, what do we want to spend money on? What do we want to save for a future grant project where we might be more expensive later down the road? So
to me on this project, I think it's super important if we can get this trail from alongside the lake on the communal property. It just completes this. I hate to see it go, you know, dive down to the water and then you have to go back out to the traffic. It's just, I think that's huge. But again, I mean, that's up to Honeywell, but
yes,
if we get that and Honeywell sells the space, what happens? Is that an easement that we've got grandfathered in, or does the new property owner get to say, this is on the property, I bought this for this lake frontage and I'm going to tear it out?
It all depends on the deal that's structured. It can happen, any one of those, if they want to work with us on it. And Honeywell's been a good partner for the community for many years. A lot of that yellow line that you see there ties in with the concept that's been discussed in the community for quite some time of having a walkway along the lakefront that connects all of our parks, from Tannery Park, you know, Peninsula Beach Park. We have some of that gets you up to Sunset Park, where the discussion was, you know, possibly a bridge somewhere, a pedestrian bridge away from Lake Street, more towards the mouth of the river, that would then get you into Veterans Park and up along that side. So some of these are multi-purpose to serve bikers and also other non-motorized users, which is
comment, I guess, would, putting in some crosswalks near the grocery store, et cetera, to me, that naturally starts to slow traffic down, which I think would be helpful. But the concept of narrowing the roadway, the one thing that I would encourage us to think about is you have a lot of trailer traffic going through there. There are a number of 40-foot trailers. I pull them. I know how challenging some of that can be. So that they don't cheat on those corners if we're having bicycles and stuff running along there. Just having enough shoulder on the north side so that they can cheat a little bit to the north as they come around some of those corners. But I think slowing it down and making that happen and narrowing it, I think is probably a good short-term piece for us. It's just being thoughtful about, what is actually going through there, and how do we make sure that it's safe when you do that.
One of the things I think about when we talk about the road narrowing and the calming effect that has, mm-hmm. That's struck up to me since I first came to town, was what we did with South Lake Street. Mm-hmm. Yes. When I first came to town, it was a beautiful, wide, paved road, and it basically had a center line in it. Mm-hmm. And just by putting paint on there, or we narrowed the lanes, put in a bike lane, created a parking lane, it really shrunk the road, and I think it's helped slow people down and give some more definition with regards to it.
And didn't you do that up on Division as well when that was resurfaced 5 years ago?
Yes. We've kind of been...
Yeah.
We haven't taken the old MDOT standard where the wider the lane, the better. We've kind of... People are slowly moving away from that as well, too. It's not just getting from here to there as quick as possible, enjoying the journey, making it safe. Yes?
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but and part of this, too, you could consider moving the 25-mile back out where West Michigan pops off, and you turn into Boise City, Charlotte. Because right now it's 35, right? But you almost get to Charlotte Street.
Yeah.
I mean, you could also push that 25-mile-an-hour out closer to the city limits to try and help get the call. Because people come around that hill still
doing it. Can't do a traffic study or that.
I was just going to say, what the state has been basically encouraging communities to do, and sometimes through law, is basically require not so much a traffic study, but a speed study. And where communities really had carte blanche with regards to setting speed limits in the past, now they're really encouraging a scientific method to do that. And sometimes that backfires on you because you're supposed to take the 80th percentile or whatever that percentile is of what the normal traffic flow is. And sometimes it ends up increasing traffic or speed limits rather than decreasing them. So you've got to be careful what you wish for sometimes. I just wanted to say I did appreciate your comment with regards to Michigan State. I love their trail system when I was on campus there. I mean, we'd have some of the trails that they just had a yellow line on them so you knew it was for bikes and stuff like that, and other ones that were for pedestrians. And they coexisted fairly well.
It works.
Yeah.
It works. It's just, having the signage and the lane markings and the like. People will honor that. It's just,
Once they get used to it, because one of the comments I heard was, using John or Bay Street, things like that. And that's great for a lot of us that are regular residents here that know the shortcuts and know the ways to get here. We also might have to keep in mind the people that we want to bring safely from the state park and get them back to the state park that, help support our economies as well, too. Just because we know it, we can't assume that they're going to figure it out.
Some of the comments with the driveways and dealing with the driveways and the trail. I know that the top of Michigan trails, they actually have signs that people have been putting on some of the more traveled driveways that just is just a warning, hey, there's a trail here. And it works out pretty well. I mean, obviously it's volunteered, but it was an interesting thought. I've made some signs for them. So.
Well, I look at the recreation trail we have along Division Street, the number of driveways we have along that. Especially as you go further west, there's more driveways than there are out by Van Dam's. And unfortunately, Kevin, the chief just left. I'm trying to think if there's ever been I'm not aware of any vehicle, either pedestrian or bike accident that has happened along that trailway.
Well, yeah, it also got cleared out quite a bit, so.
Other additional, yes,
Mike, what are the next steps then, what, as we move forward with this?
Well, obviously we presented a lot of information here today. What I'm hoping is going to take place is that, again, we get whatever conversation we have now out on the table, and I think we're kind of winding down at this point. But then hopefully over the next couple of days and then your next board meetings, whether it's park board, planning commission, or city commission, we can have a few minutes to discuss these a little bit further. And then we're going to have to come up and start making some recommendations as to how we move forward. I don't want to try and do that today. I don't want to force the issue, but we don't have that much time. We were looking to apply for some funds yet this year.
Are there any zoning issues that have to be considered on this?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like it would be.
Any other comments or questions or suggestions for us as we move forward? Well, hearing none, I appreciate everybody coming out today. This has been some great conversation. Larry and Tim and I will be around here for a few minutes if you want to look over some of these plans. We do have some hard copies if you want to take them with you. If you do think of something else, please write it down or email it to Tim and myself, and we'll make sure it gets to the appropriate body. And again, thank you for coming tonight, and we look forward to